Hello and welcome back to Mileage Airways. This is your captain, Katelem, speaking. And today we have a very, very interesting co-pilot. I'm going to let her introduce herself. This pod is going to be about an hour long because there's actually a lot we are going to be talking about. So strap up, fasten your seat belts, and get ready as we take off. Cabin crew, prepare for takeoff. All right, we're here on Mileage Pod. And I don't want to talk too much because today we have a very, very interesting episode for you. And I am currently with someone I have known for some time. How long have I known you? It's more than a couple of years. I've known you for over 10 years, but we reconnected
in 2016.
Was it 2017? It was definitely not 2016 because I came back in 2017.
That means it was 2017.
So, yes, we reconnected in 2017. So, that's like 6 years now. So, our friendship is 6 years strong. Yes, this is someone who is very close to me. And I am, in fact, I'm privileged that she has graced this pod because, I mean, this is episode, 30-something? And I've not had this girl on this pod. But I'm going to let her introduce herself. I almost said your name here, but I'll allow you to say your name. So please take it away.
Hello, everybody. My name is Esther Okoro. Actually, I should say my middle name.
Say your middle name.
My name is.
And tell us what it means.
Esther Tamunose Depree Okoro.
That's a long one.
Sounds short, but let's believe it's like 26 letters.
Means what does
God's
it mean?
Gift, actually.
God's gift. Why is it long like that then?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yes, so I'm with Esther. Oh yeah, you're still introducing yourself.
I feel like this is the hardest question.
Yeah, it is.
Introduce yourself. I would like to say I'm a social prophet and a joy giver.
That's ideal.
Those two things summarize who I am.
That's ideal. So I'll give you a little backstory. I call Esther Star Girl. I don't actually know why I started calling her Star Girl, just because her name sounded like Star. And then only for me to realize that Esther is actually from a Latin word, Estrella. I don't know if you even know this.
No, this is my first time.
Now, Estrella actually means star. So your name actually means star. Yes. So when I found that out, I was like, flesh and blood did not reveal this to me.
At all.
But yeah, Esther, we're here finally. So I'm going to ask you an icebreaker question, as I do on this pod, just to get you in the flow of things. I know you're a traveler, or you're a traveler. How do you say someone that wants to be a traveler?
My dreams.
There's all who wants to be a traveler. I know
I
you like the, exactly yeah, aspiring traveler. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. So, where is your dream destination?
Singapore. I feel like everybody that has been in contact with me has heard something about me gushing about Singapore.
Yeah.
I think for me, the reason why Singapore was after I watched Crazy Rich Asians. I just loved it, and since then, I'm like, I must go here. So, yeah, Singapore for me.
What did you see about Singapore? The
beauty, everything. I feel like they're like in 2050. And then we are in like, still in 2023. I don't know, but just everything, the buildings, the people. I had a couple of friends in uni that were from Singapore as well. So they said a lot of things about it. So I was just very intrigued in how they used to spend money. To them, like, pounds was nothing to them. And in my head, I'm like, ha.
But that's because you watch Crazy Rich Asians.
No, but even like...
It would have a poor side now, wouldn't it?
Of course it would, but I mean...
Yeah. My dad actually once told me that Singapore is so clean that you can put your food on the ground and eat.
Wow.
That's actually what he said. And
Wow.
obviously, he was exaggerating like he always does, but.
I mean, there was a time where I was reading some facts about it, and I heard that it's a crime to chew gum in Singapore.
To
Chew
chew.
gum, yeah, in public. It's a
Like, not
crime
to throw it away, just
to
to
chew
chew it.
gum, yeah.
Are you
Yeah.
serious?
Yeah.
That's
I read
crazy.
that. Don't know how true that is, but I saw that somewhere. So yeah, I'm obsessed with Singapore, hoping that someday God will answer my prayer.
Amen. I mean, me, I'm not a traveler, but let me tell you my own dream destination. I don't know if I've told you this before. Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. It's
No.
like, I think it's a, is it the capital of Brazil?
Is it
No.
because of
It's not the
football?
capital of Brazil, but yeah,
Of
football.
course.
But then there's this, I don't know if you know this, there's a statue of Christ. There's one very large statue of Christ that is opening his hand like this. You've never seen it before.
No, never.
It's that's where it is, and that's what really attracts me to the place. That's why I want to go there. But
Interesting.
then Brazil is like a football nation,
I
so
just knew it. It has to be
that's
something related to football.
yeah. So anyway, Esther, let's dive straight into it. So on the 5th of June, your life changed for life.
Right.
I don't want to, I want you to actually, like, I want everything to come from you. So I want you to say what happened that day and yeah, just flow from there.
Okay, on the 5th of June, was a normal Monday, just after the Democracy Day, 29th of May, I think, when they swore in the president of Nigeria. And it came with the whole forced custody and all of that. So I remember that Monday, my tank was so low, it was like on E. And I was calling my husband, I was telling him that, ha, Omo, I've tried to look for fuel, no way. So finally, I found a place, and he was like, oh, okay, I should go there and just, buy. And so that day, we spoke like all through, like from morning when I was buying the fuel till, just all through, we spoke, we were on the phone, and even down to, 10. And at 10, he needed to step out,
10 p.m.
At 10 p.m., yeah, he needed to step out. And I remember because I was my sister and Habibi were in my room, and the call was on loudspeaker, and they were just hailing him too, and we were just all on the phone, and they left me to continue talking with him. And at 10:06, he was like, I need to go clear my head. And I was like, okay, I mean, call me when you're back. He was like, yeah. Actually, I delayed because I always delay in him going out. I never want to drop the call. I'm always like, no, please don't go, don't go. So I think I did that then. I was like, no, don't go. And he's like, the earlier you allow me to go, the earlier I come back. So I was like, okay, go call me when you come back. And I mean, we hadn't even prayed because we pray every night. So I mean, I also had to be up anyways to wait for him to come back so we could pray and sleep. So somehow, I just sent a message to him saying, ah, I don't feel too good because I have allergies. So I was like, ah, my allergies are acting up. I don't feel too good. Just please pray for us before you sleep, and then I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. And apparently, that was the last time I spoke to him. Yeah.
I didn't even know this side of the story, but yeah. And then the next day you woke up, talk to us about how that went.
Next day, I woke up. I left the house pretty early that day. Like I said, because of fuel scarcity and all that, prices of fuel had gone up. So I started to leave the house super early. So say I used to leave the house at 5:30. I started leaving the house at 5:15 or say 5 o'clock. So just so that I would just not experience any form of traffic, conserve some fuel, go to the office, sleep in my car, and wake up at 8 a.m., when it's time for work. So on my way to work, I remember getting a call from my sister-in-law, Tammy, and just like, oh, have you spoken to mommy and daddy? I'm like, no. I want Toby. I should call Toby. Toby's my husband. And I should call Toby and tell and let him call the parents. So I was like, why do I need to call Toby to tell him to call parents when I can just call them? And then, I called her as my mother-in-law. And she was like, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. You know, we spoke. She was like, what are you doing now? I said, I'm on my way to work. She was like, ah, so early. I said, yes, so I have to start going to work very early because of the fall thing. So she goes, you know I love you, right? You know I love you. And she kept on stressing it. And I didn't see it as anything because she always says it, to be honest. So for me, it was just normal. So she was like, yes, I know, man. Then she was like, I love you so much. I'll call you back. She was like, okay. I said, let her know when I get to work and she'll call me back. So I told her bye, and then that was it, you know. And I got to the office, you know, I just wrote in my diary. I keep a diary. I've been keeping a diary since 2018. So I just wrote like a few things that happened that morning in my diary, just my drive to work, when I woke up, you know, and all of that. And then I was ready to go upstairs, you know. I usually go up, like I said, like a few minutes to eight. So I went upstairs. I got a call from my brother saying he's downstairs, which didn't make any sense to me because he's supposed to work from home that day. So why are you coming to my office? It didn't make any sense to me. And he's like, oh, he brought a package for me. I'm like, okay. I ran down, you know. And I'm not going to lie, while I was going down, my heart was beating really fast because my brother is downstairs. My sister-in-law is on the phone with me asking me if I've spoken to my husband that morning. And I try his line. His line is switched off, which is weird. He hasn't replied to my messages from last night. So everything started just going on in my head. And in my that still wasn't it for me. Like, that still didn't, you know. That did not ring a bell at all. I was just like, maybe he had an accident or something. Something. No, not that. You know, so I went downstairs and my brother was like, how are you? You know, he held me tight. You know, how are you doing and everything? And then at the point of holding me, I said, what is it? Why are you here? And then he didn't know what to say. He could tell that he was shaking. And immediately I said, Tammy, what happened to Toby? And then he was like, Esther, I'm sorry we lost him. And I scattered everywhere. The whole car park. I didn't even know that people heard me. They had to just carry me and put me inside the car. And it was funny because, I mean, like when I was coming down and he held me, I saw his wife. I saw my brother-in-law. I said, nah. And then I was like, nah, what happened? Like the first thing, like the only person that made sense to me then was like, what happened to Toby? So it just, you know, I kept on saying, no, it's not possible. It's a lie. Like, it was like, nah, I just spoke to him now. No. No, it's like, I'll call you back now. No, we'll talk normal. You know, I'll call you back. Let me just step out. You know how you go out and call me. I'm sorry. Let me just get something. I'm coming. That was it. And no, it wasn't. It didn't make sense to me. You know, I go home. The story changed to the fact that he's in ICU. I just need to come into town and touch him. They say I need to just come. He needs to see me. He's in the ICU. You know, I started getting a lot of calls. Apparently, I didn't even know like everybody had known by then. I started getting a lot of calls, you know. When last did you speak to Toby? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, for some of them, I even said, oh, we spoke this morning. Because there's nothing you want to tell me. Like for me, there was no way my husband could die, so there was nothing you could tell me. I mean, so yeah, and that was it. And I was just still living in in a dream. Or I don't know. Go to the airport, got the next available flight to Abuja. I remember being on the flight, and normally I'd be scared for turbulence, but nothing made sense to me. In my head, I was like, can this plane just crash already? Let me just go. Because if I thought he's gone, there was absolutely nothing I was living for. So I remember turbulence for the first time in my life, and I didn't shake. I stood still, and I was saying, please crash, please crash, please crash. So then I think of the things I said. I'm just like, God. You know, and I got in. I saw a lot of people in the house. And I was like, but they said it's in the ICU. So what are these people doing here? What are they doing here? And I kept on screaming, and they held me. They were like, he's gone. I said, no, it's not possible. I'm like, no, I needed to see him. No, it's not possible. Maybe he needs to see me for him to wake up. You know, there was just a lot going on in my head. I couldn't imagine it that my husband of 5 weeks would die rather. You know, it didn't make any sense. Still doesn't on some days, I'm not going to lie. So after I calmed down a bit, I went to the mortuary to see him. And you know, everybody held me, you know, like bodyguards, right, left, front, center, Asper. She's going to lose it in the mortuary. And when I got in, I was shaking. I didn't know what to expect. I kept on shaking. I started to, you know, see. It took me back to 2018 when I lost my dad and when I was entering the mortuary, when I saw him. So I started to see all of that and I started to shake. And I got in, first of all, it was smelling everywhere, was, you know, chemicals. And I'm like, no. And they brought him out. I said, no. Toby is a clean boy. And seeing him in that state, I was like, no. First of all, I was like, no, you guys are mistaken. This is not Toby. Toby cannot be inside a fridge. And they're dragging him out in a pool of blood. I'm like, no, it's not Toby. Toby is clean. Toby can't. This is not him, you know. I didn't shout, I didn't scream, I didn't make a scene. I just stood there, I didn't cry. And I looked at him and I was like, no, it's not possible. And a lot of things were just going on in my head. And the moment I stepped out of the mortuary, I cried my eyes out. And I just, that memory can never leave my head. I mean, people always tease me and say I even had minds to go there, but I had to. I don't know why I went, but I don't know if I needed some form of closure, because I mean, I was still in denial that, you know, he was the one I saw there. But I just needed to see him. Just needed to be sure that, I don't know, but there's something about, you know, when they tell you something and you actually seeing it for yourself, there's some form of acceptance that comes with it. Just a tiny little bit of acceptance that, you know, sometimes when you're in denial that this person is gone, you think about what you saw and you're like, damn. And yeah, from that day, like, my life changed. And yeah, I went back home and, you know, still a lot of people coming in, you know, screaming, crying, and I just didn't even want to see anybody. I was just in the car. Anybody that knows me knows that I love my car. I mean, that wasn't my car that I was in, but I just wanted to be in the car. And I was just there with my brother, and I was just telling him, how are we? Am I dreaming? Where are we? You know, it felt like I was even running mad at some point. You know, I'd question myself. I said, no, it's not possible. They're lying. Maybe. Who are these people? Why are they here? You know, so many things were just going on in my head. And yeah.
As you can imagine, I have a lot of questions. But first of all, let's do a quick mic check. Can you see a green light on your mic?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we're on track. The first, when you see him, when you go to the mortuary and you see him, what's the first thing that comes to your head?
I mean, I saw him twice at the mortuary. And the first time and the second time, I saw two different things. First thing that came to my head when I saw him that day was just how shitty life is. And in my head, I was like, this is all rubbish. You know, 1 minute somebody is here, the next minute. I think that was the first thing that came to my head, just how rubbish, fickle, brief, everything life is. And it hits me. I'm like, this somebody I held hands with, we promised forever, we had plans, and then they're lying in a pool of blood. It didn't make sense. As at then, I saw just one cut on his shoulders and on his head. Funny enough, like when I was there, I was just like, as silly as this sounds, I was like, ah, this guy, you still look buff and find yourself even in debt. You know, apparently when they embalm you, you know, you sort of look buff. Maybe that's it. But I mean, I still saw the beauty in him and all of that. And then the second time I went, I actually analyzed everything, you know. I wanted to know what happened, where the cut was. Couldn't they stitch it? Couldn't they do this? Couldn't they do, you know, so many things. And when I went at first, I saw only one cut. The second time I went, I saw the second cut. That particular cut was deep. And when I looked at that cut, it was on his head. And I was like, ah, God. Even if you wanted to save him, sha, this cut is deep. Oh, I'm not going to lie, it's deep. And he was still bleeding. That's to tell you how deep it was, like with the embalmment and everything. Toby was still bleeding so bad. So, and I was just like, how can anybody that knows Toby knows how clean, organized, like Toby should drop a pin here. He should meet it, like, should meet everything how it is. Like, he's very neat. He's very, you come to the house, like, you can walk barefoot and you won't even feel any sand. That's how Toby is. And this was Toby lying down in a very, for me, it's dirty, sha. But it's actually dirty for Toby, you know. So for me, it was just like, my tea is in this place, this filthy place. I was so angry. So angry. Like, even on a normal day, like, Toby wouldn't even step in there. But this is Toby being there. You know.
Is there a part of you that night he went out, is there a part of you that felt something, like, did you suspect anything that night he went out?
To be honest, I slept with the aim of, you'll see my message, he'll try to call me, probably wouldn't peak, or maybe it wouldn't go through, because I put my phone on flight mode to sleep every day and they always warn me about it. But so I have coconut head. But yeah. And in my head, I'll just wake up to his message or his call and whatnot. I didn't think anything bad would happen. I just thought it was somebody that went out and came back. Or somebody that, you know, goes out to say, I'm coming, and then they come back. I mean, in my sleep sometimes, where I have dreams, you know when you just dream about something that maybe just happened before, you know, maybe you just have bad dream of accident and whatnot, and then in your head you're like, maybe you just say God forbid and all of that. Did that happen that night? Maybe, you know, I just saw accident, but it wasn't anything I took serious. I just saw it as God forbid, or that it's not even possible. Like, there's certain things that you can't even think would happen to you. Like, nobody thinks they'll go out and not come back. Do you get, like, the same way we're planning for January 1st, you don't think that you won't see January 1st. Nobody ever thinks that way, you know. In as much as we say by the grace of God, deep down, let's be very honest, like, most times you just feel like when you sleep, you must wake up. When you go out, you must come back. You know, you feel like you must see 31st night, you must see this, you feel like you must even see your next birthday. You know, some of us already started planning for our 30th. Like, who told you that? You see, I mean, I don't mean to sound very negative now, but there's not something you think about that, you know, you won't live to see that, you know. I mean, we all hope and all of that, but it's not even something that crossed my mind that, oh, okay, oh, like, he can go out and not come back. No. Not Toby. Like, Toby was a very careful person. So I didn't even think that this kind of thing would ever happen to me. No, not at all. Not at all.
Let's talk about grief, the actual emotion of grief. What has surprised you about everything that has happened?
What has surprised me? A lot of things.
I know we can dwell on this for a long time, so let's go.
A lot of things. The emotional roller coaster to it, how unique and different it is. Like I said, this is not the first time I'm dealing with grief. I lost my dad in 2018. But trust me, the emotions are different. Not to try to, prioritize any grief over another, but this hit me deep. Like this hit me in a way that, ha, Omo. I think the right word to it is Omo. I've never felt this way in my life. Never ever thought I'll feel this way in my life. Like I said, sometimes I can't even explain, I can't say, I can't even put in words how I feel. But it is deeper than the deepest.
So you feel like it's
It's
not even something
not
you can describe.
something I can describe. It's not something anybody can understand. It's still a mystery. It's like the way people hear that to be there, and you're like, no, it's not possible. It doesn't make sense. That's exactly it. It's something that you can't explain, you can't understand. So I think, yeah. And what else has surprised me?
Let's say like friendships. How have you seen friendships in the face of grief?
My God, dude, this is I feel like if I want to talk about that, well, we'd stay here for a couple of hours.
Let's go.
When it happened, I had a lot of friends reach out to me. Some people heard that day. I can see some people heard before me. I remember being at the airport and my friend Juliana calling me. She's like, "Have you heard from Toby today?" I'm like, "Yeah, we spoke." So I was sure to her she was in shock because I'm sure she had heard. So she was just trying to, she didn't know how to say, did I know, did I not know, and all of that. So I had like a lot of people, reach out to me and all that. So I didn't tell anybody. I don't think I ever expressly told anybody that, oh, my husband is dead. I think when it happened, I think one or two people heard and they called. I think the only people I ever told were, I told my friend Jojo to call you, and I told my sister to tell Chisom. And OJ, I have friends, but there are some people that are like the inner people, and I feel like they would be able to take it. So I think those are the only people that I expressly said, oh, tell them. So Katlem came in that night immediately. Chisom came in the next day. Chisom
For
flew
context,
in.
Chisholm is not even in at is not even in the same
Chisom
town.
is not in the same town with me. Chisom heard and flew in the next day immediately. Interestingly, Chisom did the same thing when my dad died. I feel like crying right now, but well, yeah, whenever I think about Chisom, whenever I just think about her, remember everything, like I consider myself blessed. I'm not even going to lie. Chisom flew in the next day, and she was with me throughout. And Chisom is one person that wouldn't say so much. Chisom would just be there with you. She'll just be there to listen. She'll just be there to pray for you. Chisom is that person that will come and just do your dirty work. Chisom will come and wash my clothes. If Chisom could even brush my teeth for me, she would do it. Chisom would do. And she was just there. She just showed up. I was there all through. I didn't even know that I ran out of clothes. She soon washed all my clothes for
That's
me.
crazy, man.
And I had Juliana that literally just wanted to sleep with me on the phone all through. Juliana was in the UK. OJ too just wanted to be there. She was just silent. And OJ at that point in time, had just given birth. So with two children, it wasn't easy. I had Jojo sleep over that night too as well. Like Jojo just couldn't believe it because I think that day she had come to tell me of how, oh, I should be her bridesmaid. They've set a date and all of that. So Jojo stayed there with me. I mean, I'm sure there are quite a number of names too that I can't necessarily remember at the moment, but these were, you know, key for me. And something OJ did that still I'll never forget in my life was setting up a prayer group. You know,
I don't even know how she was able to even think about
that. I don't know how, because there are no words. But how people can think outside the box is something that this period, like, I don't know. How OJ thought about that is something I still cannot, you know, wrap my head over, you know. And, you know, she formed a group and they were praying for like a month. Or I don't know. Well, yeah, they prayed every night. And, you know, this is somebody in the UK with two children. Trust me, it's not easy. You know, and that's something that I don't take for granted at all. So yes, like I'm blessed with the most amazing circle. You know, I had a friend that was also in the UK, Elizabeth. Elizabeth's mom and sister came over. You know, and that really hit me because people can give the excuse of they're not in the country. They are not in the distance. They can't show up. They don't know what to do. And I mean, there are no words, you know, it's hard. You also don't want to say the wrong things. You also don't want to do the wrong things as well. And how Elizabeth could even think about, you know, telling her mom to, I'm sure like the mom is busy, the sister is busy, to come to me. Ha.
Yeah.
It's still something. So yeah, I had people that have been there for me, that are still there for me, that have done the most amazing things, that have helped to ease the pain, I'm not going to lie. And you know, they've just been working this journey with me, you know. So I'm grateful for that. I appreciate that. I've had a number of people too who don't know what to say, don't know what to do, you know, and all that. And
what would you say to those people?
It's tough. I'm not going to lie. It's something that I've been thinking about this year. You know, entering the new year, I'm like, do I let go? Because I'm on the school of thought that you laugh with me. As a friend, we laugh together. We grieve together. We do everything together. So as you're laughing at me and celebrating with me, if I'm mourning to you, mourn with me. So if you're going to celebrate me and not mourn with me, then by all means, what sort of friendship is that? But then sometimes I also like to recognize that, you know, people take these things differently as well. Some people know what to do, some people don't know what to do and all that. And in that moment, at some point in time, I try to extend grace to people. But in recent times, not anymore. Not anymore, because there's so much to do. There's so much. I feel like I've, even from my writing alone on Medium, I'll see it as I've given you a pickup line. You pick it up from there and continue. But I've had people with all of this, with me sending, I've written what, 14 articles now about how I feel. With you seeing all of this, you still feel the need to not say anything. You know, and I think that's very insensitive. I feel like as a friend, if you read 14 of my articles and not say anything to me, then what exactly are we doing? Are we not deceiving ourselves? That's not friendship for me. You know, as a friend, you should be able to cry with me. There's no change of topic. This is who I am now. So this is it. Like, this is how it is going to be till, you know. So I've had quite a number of people that have not said anything to me, I'm not going to lie. Or I've had quite a number of people, even with everything I sent to them, they don't respond. Or they'll still just send, how are you? And in my head, I'm just
like, let's talk about that question, how are you? Because I know you, we've had this conversation before, you know, we've had this conversation a number of times where how are you has lost has lost its meaning to you.
It has lost every single meaning and value. Sorry, I sound so angry right now, but I hate the word "how are you" with a passion, especially this period. I hate it, and it's annoying, it's painful, because these are things that I've written to. I even dropped an image on my Medium saying these are questions that you can ask instead of "how are you," you know. So you read it and you still feel the need to. It's okay if you're asking a follow-up thing, like after the "how are you," I ignore the "how are you" and I answer you, you know. But just saying, "Hey Esther, how are you?" I think that's very, very insensitive.
Why?
Because how do you think I am? I lost my husband 5 weeks after marriage. I'm not fine. When I say, "Oh, I'm not fine," what will you say afterwards? "It is well. Don't worry. It gets better. The Lord will kiniko, 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 kiniko." And it's just a very endless conversation that goes with dashed hopes, dashed everything. And, you know, to you, you've ticked a box. You've checked in on Esther. That's it. But you've just made me feel even worse. Yeah. You made me feel worse. Or it can go the other way. I'll tell you, "I'm okay. Thank you for checking in." Obviously, I'm not okay. But to you, you'll be like, "Ah, thank God." And then, "Okay, now bye." That's it. It's a very meaningless conversation.
Yeah.
Very, very meaningless conversation. And I understand that sometimes "how are you" can just be, you know, something people just, like a pickup line that people just, you know, you just say, "How are you?" I understand that. Don't get me wrong. I understand that it's coming from a place of love. I understand that it's coming from a place of concern. But my point is, I've written 14 articles about how I feel. You know, I've said all these things there. I feel like if you read my articles, you would know what to say to me. You would know what to ask. You would know how to come in to have a conversation with me. You know, when we're doing the launch for Toby's Foundation, I would send this thing to people and people wouldn't say anything. They would still jump and say, "How are you?" I'm giving you a pickup line. You can ask, "Oh, how's preparation? How's it going? Oh, how did it go? What's it about?" You know, go on the YouTube and read it. "Oh my God, oh, this was him when he was training." A lot of videos there for you to ask questions about, a lot of things on the website. So there are a lot of things to actually ask questions around. Don't come and I've sent you a lot of stuff. The next thing you're asking me is, "How are you?" No, I think that's very insensitive. Very, very insensitive.
Speaking of them also saying, like, "It gets better." We are 6 months in now. Esther, truly.
No.
Has it gotten better?
No, it doesn't get better. I was just telling Kathleen that just before he came, I was crying. And he was like, "Omo, you don't even look like someone that just finished crying." Doesn't get better. We literally just max our pain. We just act. Like I say, like every day I just act. And that's because I don't have a choice, but it doesn't get any better. Even this period is tough. Google Photo just reminded me that by this time last year, I was on a beach with Toby. Obviously, like, and right now I'm on my own, lying down on a couch, pressing phone. It doesn't get any better. There are triggers every day. There's everything to remind you about it. This is a season of family, love, kiniko, kiniko. And this is me just there. Doesn't really get better at all. You just use events and memories to surround it. So it's like a circle, a small circle in the middle. That is my grief. And then I use going out with friends, another circle to cover it. I use, let's say, traveling to Singapore, another one to cover it. I use, let's say, going for a wedding, celebrity event, to cover it again.
Right.
So you just keep
covering
it and covering it and covering it, using events to cover it up. Doesn't really get better per se. I'm not going to lie. It doesn't.
So the day Jojo called me, the day I heard it and I came over, I remember seeing a lot of people in the house. And one of the things I said to you, and now in hindsight, because I've thought about that thing I said to you, and I was like, was that even the right time? to say it, because one of the things I said to you, I don't know if you remember this, was that there are a lot of people now.
Yeah.
But somewhere down the line, people will fall off the bandwagon and it would be just you. I'm sure we're already getting to that stage where it feels like everybody is moving on and you're now left pretty much alone. Yeah. How does that feel?
Yeah, I mean, we're there. We've been there for a while. And like I said, I try to be very logical, to be honest. I try to understand that life has to go on. People have to, you know, move on and all of that. You know, people have to. Yeah. So sometimes I try to extend grace and understand that it's not everybody that will stick with you along this journey. You know, I understand that, you know, life is busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody's going through their own, you know, issues as well. But something I've held on to, the people that have stayed. So in recent times, I'm trying to, you know, focus less on, you know, those other people and just focus more on the people that are committed to working this journey with me.
Yeah, but that can be so easy to just, that can be, that can't be easy.
It's not easy at all. I'm not going to lie, but for my,
especially mental, for people that you expected more
of,
from.
Yes, of course. In fact, I was having a conversation with somebody and she was like, should I address issues? Should I not? I still don't know. I don't know. There are a lot of issues I want to address. I'm not going to lie with some people. I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. I may figure it out. Who knows? I don't know. I may just let it slide and just let the friendship fade away.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But I think it just reminds me of, you know, just don't have expectations in life as well. But it's hard not to have expectations in life when you've, you know, poured in your all in a friendship. It's hard. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. Friendships are investments, financially, emotionally, otherwise, everything. So it's hard to say, okay, well, like, you're not going to. It's painful. It's very, very, very painful. But for my mental sake and for this journey, I've told myself that I'm not going to have any bitterness towards anybody, and I'm just going to stick with the people that have decided to work this with me and just keep going. And if those other people decide to come along at some point, don't know how open I will be to them. I'm not going to lie, because there's something I'm writing and it's like, people want the old Esther. So you want that bubbly, jiving Esther. Esther that is always checking in on everybody. But that Esther is no more again. Something terrible has happened to that Esther that has changed her. So it's either you come on board with this new Esther and see how, you know, you can even help and see how we can continue this journey, or you fall off. So some people are just waiting for me to get over this phase, you know, get over the phase, and then, oh, I can't wait for you to return back to how you were before.
That's someone actually said that. Someone actually said that.
I can't wait for you to return back to how you were before, you know, to that Esther Kiniko. It may come back, it may not, who knows, I don't know. It may also come, but come with a lot of changes, but... like I said, something terrible has happened to me and that has changed the old me. So you need to, if you want to, then you come on board with this new Esther. So,
yeah.
I'm just focused on those people right now, like the people that are journeying with me. So, and I think just to protect my headspace, to be honest.
Okay, so I want us to land this aircraft in a good way, right? Who was Toby to you? I wish this was a video call, because you need to see the big smile that just came on her face.
Oh my days.
But yeah, I need you to just talk, just say as much as you can about who he was to you and, you know, the kind of things you must have learned from him. Because I can't lie to you, me coming around often during when this was fresh, I learned a lot about how impactful he was, like to the lives of in the lives of the people around him, you know, what he used to do for people who couldn't do stuff for themselves, you know, the impact he had even at his office. There was just a lot I learned about him, and I know that he lived his life at a high standard. So even like for someone to even come and replace that is going to be a very tough task. But yeah, who was he to you?
My
If
God.
you if it's even possible to describe.
It's impossible to describe Toby in 1 hour, in 1 year. It's impossible. I feel like even trying to talk about Toby sometimes is like even reducing his qualities, reducing him. It's impossible to talk about Toby. Toby is an experience. Literally, Toby was an experience that I felt like everybody needed to experience. It's not something I can talk about. I'm not going to lie. I cannot, but I mean, I'm going to try. The first time I met Toby, in my head, I'm like, who are you? From subsequent conversations, so literally, I always write in my diary, who is this boy? The guy was too different. He was just too. Toby wasn't normal. Toby was special. And I kept asking, who are you? Who are you? From the first day I met Toby, Toby was already heaven-minded. And I remember sitting in the garden and he would be like, you know, yeah, with the job, with everything, all of that. Then one next, kiniko, kiniko. And the guy was just too heaven-minded. And I'm like, guy, I know a lot of people are spiritually minded like this. So it was nice to see. Oh God, it's impossible to describe Toby, man. It's impossible. It's
Okay,
impossible.
let's see if we can let's see if we can make it easier for it. I know there's a lot actually there's a lot you can say about him. So what are some things you learned from him, from being associated with him?
As cliche as this sound, you know how people say, my spouse makes me a better person, blah, 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 Toby made me to be more empathetic. Like I said, I wasn't a bad person before, but if you think you met me then, that was good. Ha. You know, the things that the little things, you know, that I remember one day we're driving in Central Area and you know, he was talking about how he needs about 100,000 naira for something. And I'm like, what is it? It's like he needs to pay somebody's school fees and all of that. I'm like, how long have you been paying this? He was like, for a while now. And this was what, a number of months I've known Toby. I didn't even know that he was paying people's school fees with his salary. And I'm like, okay, I can chip in. We can do it together. Obviously, since I mean, I sort of saw a future with him. I had something with him. He's like, no, it's his cross to carry. That don't worry, my own will come. That I mean, there are a lot of people to pay school fees
Yeah.
for. You know, and that hits me so bad. And I'm like, how do you bring out X amount of money to pay people's school fees every term? Toby was just in his 20s. Everybody, like, I mean, like, all of us are in our 20s, we can give excuses of, I beg you, I'm not blown yet, though. You know, there are things to buy, kiniko, kiniko. But, Toby started paying people's school fees. You know, he started making impact at a very, very, very early age. I remember coming to my house and there was a bag of rice that was there for months, a bag of rice that I had received from my office for Christmas. And to Toby, all he thought about were that, like, how far now? What am I doing with this bag of rice? And I'm like, what do you need a bag of rice for? He's like, that there are people that sleep, you know, outside in Area 10, you know, the basketball boys that he needs to give to, that it would really mean a lot to them, you know, like. who was continually thinking about people every single time, like how to help somebody, how to do this. Like Toby was dead to self. And it was just, how can I help this person? How can I make an impact in this person, you know, and all of that. So there are times where he will even come, he'll see a book, maybe just an exercise book, I'm not using. This book that has been here for a long time, you'll never use it. Let me go and give it to somebody, that a primary school child, I'll use it in school. Like, and it was just mind-blowing for me. I've never met that kind of person before, that you know, is continually thinking about how to better the lives of other people, you know. So that's something that, you know, I learned from Toby. Just making an impact in every single, because sometimes we think that we don't have enough money to do this and whatnot, but Toby didn't just dedicate his money, Toby dedicated his time as well, you know, dedicated everything, dedicated, you know, there are times where he even go around doing contribution, you know, we saw it the other day in his room, you know, so person contributed this, okay. With this amount of money, we were able to pay for a hotel for these people, we were able to pay for this person's feeding and all of that. And he was so accountable. If he didn't have it, he would go around, like, you know, doing fundraising to make sure that, you know, he can provide for their needs. And this is the basketball boys I'm talking about. You know, so he was, that's something I really learned from him, you know. And it totally made me to be, he made me to be less focused on, don't know how to say this, not to make it sound somehow, but yeah, I was heavenly minded, but not as much as till I met Toby. Like everything about me now is screaming Christ, is screaming, you know, heaven, screaming all of that, you know, and it's because of Toby. I remember times where I would just need to lie to somebody. I'd be like, just close your ears, or I want to lie, because Toby couldn't deal. Toby doesn't lie, couldn't condone it and all of that. Like, he would tell you that there's nothing in this life that will make him to lie. There's nothing. And I'm like, please close your ears, or I want to lie to somebody. And he'll look at me, I'd be like, Esther, I shake his head. But Esther, that lie is not worth it. I'll be like, okay, no problem, but it's very necessary. And he'll just shake his head, I'd be like, There's nothing worth. And it's like, Esther, there's nothing worth you losing heaven for. Not even that lie. I mean, I'll still lie. The lie. But I'm not going to lie. It hits me. You know. It hits me because I'm like, when I think about it and I'm like, wait, though, this guy is right. There's actually that thing that you think you want to do, that lie, whatever, it's not worth it. And those were little things, you know, I picked up from him, you know. So now my life is just, I'm a bit more, life has changed. The meaning of life has changed for me. So I'm all about impact now than even self. I don't deprive myself of things, don't get me wrong, and all of that. But I think I'm more of like, if I have 50,000 and, you know, and I have everything, and they say I'm eyeing one hair to buy. To me, I'm just like, and somebody needs to pay for their school fees. So it's nice to look good, it's nice to buy that hair and all that. But the joy that you get from paying that person's school fees, for me, it's worth more than that hair that I'm about to buy. So I'm more of that now. So I'm more of impact than actually just living for myself. So yeah, so that's something, that's one key thing that Toby taught me, you know.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for opening up and being able to, I feel like, you know, I even feel like we've not even touched up to 10% of everything, but it's something that I feel like we need to record another,
yeah,
you know, another episode where like we dive deeply. This will have different parts. Like there'll be part two, there'll be part three,
yeah,
there'll be part four. But first of all, I just want to say thank you for, you know, opening up and sharing that's always something that I would give people their flowers for, because me, I don't know how to do it. You get, so this is obviously a very touchy, it's a very emotional topic for you to talk about. So thank you for sharing. Is there anything you feel like you didn't? Of course, there are a lot of things. there are a lot of things. But quickly, I want you to just pick one person in your life and give them flowers. You can't pick me, by the way.
I knew that you were going to say that. I can't pick you.
You can't pick me.
I knew it.
You can't pick me.
You can't do that.
No. You can't pick me. This is my pod, my rules. You can't pick me. And yeah, just pick anyone and give them flowers. Quickly.
Oh my days.
And I know there are a number of you. You've already called a number of
names. They're actually a number.
I just want you to pick one.
I'm not going to lie, they are a number. And I'm going to call someone I haven't called before. And I think that's because of the season that we are in right now. And that's favor in me. And me and favor's friendship, it's not one where we talk every day, kiniko, blah, blah, blah. But people and I got closer when she stayed with me for about 7 months in my house when I was staying in Gariki, in Abuja. And we got closer, and then she moved into her house and all that. And, you know, this period, I remember doing... So, she was one of the people that Toby called for my proposal, but she couldn't make it because of work. And I remember calling her to tell her that, people, I'm so upset with you. How can you not do this? Life does not revolve around work. And everything. Kiniko, I'm so upset with you. Kiniko, I'm very blunt. So I know how to address it. So I told her, she's like, she's so sorry. She didn't know Kiniko. So we addressed it. And then, you know, it was all smiles and everything. And she's like, don't worry, I'll come through for your wedding. So when wedding came, oh my God, Afi would not make it because of work. And she's like, she's making it. I was like, Afi, are you sure? And you know, like a week or 2 weeks to time, she's like, Esther, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to tell you. I can't make it. I'm not going to lie. I felt bad because I'm like, Afi. But something Favor did that will still hit me till tomorrow. Favor sent her mom to come.
That's still the same thinking outside the box that you were referring
exactly.
to.
Exactly. So it's the way people have been able to think outside the box in the midst of there are no words, there's nothing I can do, you know, kiniko. Favor sent her mother there to my wedding. And when I saw her mom, I smiled. Like she's like, Favor said that I must make it here. Favor said, mommy, leave everything you are doing and you must show up for Esther. And it hit me. And I'm like, wow. Like, how she could even think about that. And even just, like, people is very busy. And she was there in the house. She came. You know, the day she stayed till, like, 11 p.m. You know, the times where she would send, you know, fruit baskets to the house. For the lunch, she came. She just sit there, supporting her own way. This December, people has done something that money cannot buy for me. Favor has accommodated me. There are people that have the resources but are not kind. You know. Favor has been kind to me this period. And I mean, like I said, this is 6 months after where, you know, it's going to be dying down. But Favor has been able to accommodate me. You know how it is to give somebody your car? Favor has been able to, you know, Esther, this is my car key. Use it and go wherever you want to. If I book boat, people will end that boat. She will cancel the boat. I'll be like, no, go. Take the car, go. You know, just, you know, providing food for me to eat that I don't need to,
stress about
what to eat, what to drink, because people has provided everything for me in this my mini vacation, and I would like to call it, you know, like everything, like housing, feeding, internet, you just name it. That's something, that's what Favor has done for me this period, and that's something that I don't take for granted at all. So I mean, I'd say that's one person that I really, 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 really appreciate.
Favor, in fact, I'm going to send this this pod when it comes out. I'm sending it straight to people.
She may listen to it 10 years
later. No, I'll tell her that she doesn't listen to it in the next 2 days. I'll delete it. But yeah, so lastly, I want you to give your parting words, like if there's anything you want to say to someone listening, maybe something you've learned or something that you just want to share. I'm also going to link your Medium profile on the description. So yeah, anything you want to share to someone listening?
So I think what I'd like to say, sorry, I don't give all this advice, inspirational, aspire to. It's a very lonely journey. I'm not going to lie to you. Let nobody tell you that. With all the support and everything, family, friends, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, everybody, it's a very lonely, lonely road, lonely journey. You know, with all the support, you still need to do it yourself. Apologies, that was harsh, but it's still you. It's a you journey. Nobody can do it for you. I think that's one thing, you know, that has hit me this period. I've been in therapy. I've run to a lot of people. Everything. I've come back to the fact that Omo, Oyo, it's still you. You still need to be the one to figure it out. You still need to be the one to deal with your emotions, you know. And it's tough. It's really, really tough. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very, 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 very tough. It's very tough. It's very tough. But I'm grateful. Like, I know sometimes I struggle to be grateful. I'm grateful for people, you know. I'm grateful for one thing that has been key for me this period is Apostle Joshua Selman's sermons. I know something I'll probably talk about later, but that's something that has helped me in the midst of my loneliness, in the midst of me carrying this burden, carrying this grief, carrying this pain, you know. Where even if you run to somebody, there's nobody can do for you aside listening, which is nice and helpful. But something that has helped me in my own space and in my loneliness has been his sermons. You know, if you've ever listened to Apostle Selman's messages, then you know that most times it just feels like he's talking to your situation. You know, he's talking to you and he just has a way of lifting you up. He has a way of just easing your pain a little bit. You know, that's something that has been super helpful for me. So as lonely as it is, you know, listening to his sermons have been amazing. And that's something that I'm grateful for. Grateful for the gift of him. You know, grateful for the gift of, you know, him even coming out to do this. Because there are a lot of people that have the gift of this and, you know, just lock it up. You know, for him to have come out to speak up, you know, I'm grateful for that. So yeah, I think that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I think the very last question I want to ask, which is on behalf of anybody listening, is how can I, now when I say I, now I don't want you to answer this question like I'm the one asking, yeah. But I'm also asking,
yeah,
how can I be there for you more, or how can I show support to you more in this situation?
Okay, very good question. Funny enough, I was writing about that and I'm struggling to write about it, but I would say number one, read my posts on Medium, read my stories. Anybody that has read my stories, you would know what to say. For example, if you've read my stories, you know that I took 3 months off work. So you wouldn't come to me to ask me how is work. because then that's you just trying to tick a box that you asked Esther a question or you reached out to Esther. Then you know that you're not a genuine person. Sorry to say. So I feel like anybody that actually reads my post, to be very honest, you would get a tip or two. I had someone that read it and she came to my house with Puff Puff. Because if you read it, you know that I like Puff Puff. So to her, is that she's coming to the stairs, okay, Puff Puff. So I feel like to a large extent, if you read it, you understand. If you read it, you can even pick up from here and be like, oh, I saw that you traveled here. How was it? What did you see? Where did you go to? How long did you spend? Like I said, it's a pickup line that, you know, you'd start. There are a lot of questions to ask and all of that. That's how, you know, you can help to ease the pain a bit. So I feel like everything is in my stories. I'm not going to lie. Everything is in my stories. Everything. And something I appreciate that a lot of people have, rather one person, two people have done, three people. You know, they've sent me songs. And they actually ask, is it okay if I send you the song? And I'm like, yes, it's fine. And I listen to it. Until date, I still listen to two of those songs whenever I feel down. You know, if they didn't send it to me, I would never have known of those songs. So, you know, those are just little things that, like I said, money cannot buy. It's not about money. I'm not going to lie. I don't need anybody's money. And I say this with all humility, you know, because I didn't lose money. I lost my husband. So those little things have been able to help. Elizabeth did something as well where in the midst of the pain, I didn't reply anybody. I mean, for like a month or two or three. And I got an email saying, you know, whenever I feel up to it, I should go for a stress relief massage. That was beautiful to see. I mean, I wouldn't have gone for it then, but it was up to like, I had it up to like November or so. And then when I felt up to it, I went for it. You know, so I feel like everything is on Medium. Everything is on Medium. From there, you would know what to say, you'd know what to do, you know, and all that. It's all there. I've had someone that sent me like some prayer points, you know, and all. I have people do like a lot of things, you know, like it's little things here and there, you know. I've had people, you know, they know that I love orange. When they come, they give me orange and I smile, you know. If you know me, then you know that they love. I've had random people send me emails, the most random people from Uganda, from a lot of places in Africa, random people.
Through your Medium, yeah?
Yes, random people, you know, just say some amazing things to me. And I don't think I understood how much I loved words of affirmation until this period. I think that's something that has really helped me. You know, I've had a lot of encouragement this period that has been very helpful. So, yeah.
Would it be okay for a random person, so let's say someone who just listens to this pod, to reach out to you and just...
I've had a lot of them reach out to me.
And that's okay.
Yeah, from Medium. Okay. So yes, they can. Certainly, like I've had... I think this period, I've connected with a lot of strangers. Mm. And it's a bit...
What's the best way to get through to you? Email?
Email, yeah.
Like, because for someone I'm not on
any social media.
Left all social media platforms.
I'm not, because it's a trigger. So
yeah, okay. So I'll drop your email as well.
Is via email.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if they want like to have a personal relationship?
From the email, we take it off from there. Okay, I've had someone from email, we took it off from there.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. So obviously there's a lot more that we did not cover, but you know, I think that's even good because, you know, I want us to keep having this conversation. But I won't talk to you in like a month or two and see, okay, like so far, how has it been going? You know, because obviously grief is something that like you think is getting better. And then like you said, today, boom, Google Photos just comes up with pictures from last month. But anyway, like I said, thank you for opening up, for bringing your authentic self to this post, for actually having a very free flowing open conversation about this. I want to say a few things about you, which I'm sure
you don't want me to say to talk
no,
about
I
it.
Mean this is
that's
my
not
part.
Being fair.
What? Just hear me out first. So like I said, Esther and I have, you know what, let me not talk like I'm talking to the person listening, let me talk to you. So like, you know, we've been very good friends for the better part of 5 years ish and something I can say about you is that you're someone who is, you're an incredible person, and I'm not just saying that because you're here. I don't know why you're looking away. No, but this is true talk. I'm not just saying that because you're here. I think I sent you, there's an email I sent to you recently that I kind of highlighted all of this. You know, you're someone who's always, like, someone who's in your life can never doubt your love for them, because you are very, very there for your people. You know, you want to, and one of the biggest attributes about you is your ability to show up in person. Yeah, and it's not easy to do that. You know, there are two people, well, maybe like three people I know in my life that are like that. And that's something that's not easy at all. You know, being able to physically be present for your friends, you know. And this is why it always, and I tell you this, it pains me a lot that, you know, there are people that you've shown up for heavily that have not been able to do the same for you in return. It's so painful whenever I think about it. And that's why I always ask you about it. But you're really an incredible person. And I would want to say you're one of the strongest people I know. But saying someone is strong, I don't even think that's a compliment, honestly. Like, I just feel like, what really is being a strong person? Does that mean that you're supposed to be handling pain all the time? You get?
Yeah.
But one thing I also like about this period is the fact that I've been able to see your vulnerable side, which is very good. Because someone like me, there's no fun in relating with someone like me, because you almost never see a vulnerable side. But it's always good to see the vulnerable side of people, you know. Shows that, like, you can relate with them.
Yeah.
Thank you for also sharing as much as you have. I know you always say, are you not tired? I'm saying it on this pod now that I will never be tired. I've told you. So anytime you feel like you want to share or you want to open up about anything, me, I'm here, you know, I'm here to listen. And yeah, man, sky is your limit. I pray that everything that's supposed to come out of this happens for you, and whatever that is. And I just pray that God, I know that God has you in get you for mind. So do you have any other thing you want to say?
No. You wouldn't like me to talk about you now. So.
There's nothing to talk about me.
Okay. I know how to get you. That's just it.
Okay. Let me go ahead.
I know how to get you. I'll just write about it. You already know.
Where will you write it?
On my Medium.
No. Your Medium is about, it's for you. It's for your story.
Yeah, it's for my journey. And you've been part of that journey.
Fair enough.
Anyways, actually, I think I should say this. So, I was actually writing it yesterday. He doesn't know about this, by the way. But I'm writing another story, and that story basically talks about how people should just listen. Don't give any advice. Don't try to change the topic. In short, there's no changing of subject matter when somebody is dealing with grief. You know, and that's something that Katlem has done. So that's something that Katlem is, what's the word? It's committed to do it for the next 1 year and beyond. And it's something that Katlem just stays and listens. Like, Katlem won't give you any, he doesn't give me any advice, nothing. He'll just stay there and be like, just pour it out. And sometimes at 1 a.m., I'm calling this guy and he will pick to listen to me cry, literally. And that's something that Omo, and he's not idle. Did you guess? Now, if you say, ah, okay, maybe he does not work tomorrow and what's not. He's busy too as well. He has to make a living. But for someone to be committed to you, to say, I'm going to listen to you every single day, minimum of 1 year. Ha! You guys.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I don't even know how to listen to these things.
You guys. You guys, honestly, like, Katlem has been a major part of my journey, and I'm so grateful to him. You know, recently he did something very amazing as well, where I didn't have anybody to come and pick me from the airport, and he didn't even know that I'd not made arrangement. We were just talking. I'm like, oh, I'm coming into town and everything. And, you know, I was boarding, and the next message I see is, see you soon, you know. And he came with another mutual friend, and that was so sweet. I'm sure you must have seen that in my last story, because I don't joke with airport pickup, so because trust me, if I picked you up from the airport, you know that I must really love you. I love it so much. I enjoy it. Like, for me, it's not something that I do, things that money cannot buy, and there's money cannot buy. Trust me, it's deeper than sending, paying for my Uber, or, you know, sending drivers to coming all the way is not beans. So that's something that I appreciate so much. Like, those are little things that I appreciate so much, honestly. So yeah, Katlem has been a major part of this journey, and that's something I'm so grateful for. So
thank you for your flowers, your unexpected flowers. I appreciate it, and thank you for letting me be there for you. Also, shout out EDK, because EDK was the friend that drove me to the airport to pick Esther. So we've come to the end of part one of this conversation, and please feel free to reach out if you're moved to her. I will put a link to her Medium. And your email is on your Medium, right? Is it?
Yes, on my Medium.
Okay. So through Medium, you would be able to get through to her. But then again, even apart from like getting through to her, just go read her stories. She's actually a very good writer. I don't know why she didn't mention this at the beginning.
I'm not.
Esther actually writes like you read it and you think you're there. I promise you. And that's obviously like when people write on Medium, when people write their stories, people don't pay attention to the writing per se. They just pay attention to, okay, let me just say my story. But you actually pay attention to how the reader reads it. Maybe you may not even know this.
Yeah, probably.
But that's probably the empathetic side of you coming out in your writing.
Yeah.
So, yes. We've come to the end of this mile. Thank you for boarding. Thank you for being part of this flight. And as we land now, please subscribe to the pod, like, follow, rate, review, everything that they do to pods. And we shall catch you in part two. Cabin crew, prepare for landing. Peace out. Do you have any signing
thank
outs?
Thank you.
Esther always says to do, so.
To do.
Exactly.